Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
How we doing? Anybody got an outstanding miracle testimony of something just recently happened in your life, a miracle you know about or you've had happen to you? Just raise your hand. I don't want to miss those. Oh, yes. Okay. Let me grab this microphone for you.
I had severe arthritis in my hands. And all the joints, they were as red as a red apple. They were swollen. It looked like I had cherry tomatoes on the ends of my fingers.
Oh, wow.
And I'd have to ice them at night. They were just so painful. And I couldn't play the piano very well. I just had to do chords. And I stopped playing the guitar altogether. Hmm. And we believed God to heal them. And Paul took a picture one morning at the breakfast table because I said, God's going to heal me, and you'll see it with your own eyes. And he did. They're totally healed. I can open up a zip baggie or a jar. I can drive the car. He healed my
Praise
hand.
God. Look at that.
They're normal color. They're normal.
And you had a picture of before. It was nothing like this. It was had red. Wow.
It was horrible. But anyway.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you. Praise God. That's always, you know, a testimony is always given to encourage somebody here who's struggling with something to believe God for. Your healing too. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Hi. Yes, Elaine. I should carry this microphone with me. Here you go. Hey, tell us what's going on.
We just found out today that Lee has to have cancer surgery on his nose.
Okay.
So last time he had the Mohs surgery on the right side, it's going to be the left side.
Okay.
So we're really asking for God to heal him.
Amen.
And we
Amen.
Know he will.
Amen.
I trust and believe.
Then let's just agree right here. Lord, we just believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. Your healing has already been provided. And we just ask for that manifestation to come forth again to amaze Lee and Elaine and to glorify God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 Want us to be in prayer for... Yes. Okay, hold it close to you.
Yep. I just got back from Pennsylvania this week. My son got married.
Okay.
And he married a lovely girl.
Awesome.
And on the way to go there, there was some friction in, you know, families, relationships.
No,
and the like.
You're kidding. Families
and,
have friction.
So I prayed about all of those. And I prayed because it was supposed to rain the entire drive up.
Oh, wow.
And the entire drive back. And it did not rain. And every relationship issue just disappeared, and the Lord's Spirit was at that wedding in such a powerful way that it was just, it filled my heart so much. So on the way back, I was driving, and we didn't get any rain till we got to Florida, like right around.
Well, we keep it all here, yeah, right now. We're keeping it here.
And on the left side, it was all dark, and on this side, was starting to break in the clouds. And you know when you get one of those big puffy white clouds that's just so bright and the light and the rays are shining through? And I said, you know, Lord, you answered every one of my prayers. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah.
And he said, not just for me. I have so much more for you
Amen.
Than you all can imagine. And that's when no eye can see, no ear can hear, no mind can conceive what the Lord has for us.
Amen.
And so we have to remember that and, you know, bring everything to him, right?
Amen.
All things at all times.
Thank you. Amen. I agree. Praise God. There is so much more for us. Amen. We want to remember to pray for Dick Rodebush. I don't know if you're familiar. Dick usually sits right around here. And he had an aneurysm. a brain bleed this week, and most of you are probably aware, if you get our emails, you're aware of these prayer requests we put out. Had to have emergency surgery, and we've been praying for him and his wife Donna, and he's had a miraculous surgery. He came through what they were, the doctors were saying, we're not sure if he's going to make it through. He's came through, but it's still quite a process to go through the rest of the recovery. So could we just all just take a moment just to lift up Dick Rodebush and just believe God and out loud just pray, God, for the miracle touch again to just manifest in his life to the glory of God and to the amazement of the doctors. Once again, God, show your miracle power in Dick's life. And we just put that before you in faith and thank you in advance for the answer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good to see you. I've been personally feeding on Proverbs chapter 3 for several weeks. And I want to just share with you some of the gleanings that I'm getting from this that I think will benefit all of us tonight as we look into Proverbs chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, turn there to Proverbs chapter 3 and jot down a few of these notes that I think will be helpful to you. I'm not surprised that many times it seems coincidental that I'll say something and then someone will say, well, that's just what I'm dealing with this week. And it's not coincidental. It's God at work in our life, and we want to pay attention to that. And so tonight I want to just feed on chapter 3, a portion of it, and looking at the benefits of wisdom from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit shows us things and teaches us things that no one else can teach us. And I love how this starts off. It starts off teaching my son. You can hear the father's voice in this talking to us and sons and daughters. My son, he's talking to us. And you break this whole chapter down. There's three times he says my sons, like three different sections. And the first two sections are the first 10 verses. Two different sections, he says, my son, and then the second section, my son, and then there's a third section, it's a little longer, he says, my son. So this is a wisdom. The father is trying to impart to us, his children, while we're here upon this earth. He says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. I find it interesting that God starts off by saying, my son, don't forget. We have a tendency to forget. How many times does the Bible tell us not to forget? It's a warning. And here the Father starts off talking to us about don't forget something. There's something that's so critical. You got to make sure you don't forget something. And remember, we have the Lord's Supper simply because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. There are things that are critical for us to keep in the forefront of our mind. And I looked up the word there for the word forget in the Hebrew, and it means to just really cease to care. It's not like you're going to forget like you have a bad memory. It's the idea that you just, you know, it's not that important to you. You just have a tendency to just lay something aside that God says is vital to you. It's really life and death to you. But we just kind of take it as it's not that important. And so the idea of forget here is God saying, remember, keep alert spiritually. Remember the things that I'm teaching you and I have been teaching you all your life. Remember my teachings. Those are the things that he teaches us over and over again. And the Hebrew word there for teaching is the word Torah, which we would say law, instruction, teaching, or the Word of God. So God's saying, remember the things I've been teaching you from the Word. And there are seasons in our life where there seems to be repetitive teachings that God gives us. He's showing it to us over and over. We hear it from one preacher. We read it in a book. We may listen to another preacher on TV or the radio, and we hear almost the same thing. It's the Holy Spirit trying to help us to remember, because we have a tendency to forget some things that are very, very important to us. So he says, my son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandment. And we'll get to that in just a moment. One of the things I think is so subtle for us is that we don't realize how easily we forget fundamental doctrines that are supposed to already be intact in our life. So that when that fundamental doctrine, teaching, our theology is being attacked by something, be it a song, be it a movie, be it someone saying something, that immediately the flares go off and the warning goes off. So wait a minute, that's not true. You know, the way you recognize counterfeit is you know the truth well enough so you recognize the counterfeit. The same should be true spiritually, that a warning goes off, you know, a buzzer goes off in our heart when we hear or recognize something that is not truth. We should say, hold on, that's not true. Rather than let it sink in and affect us over a period of time. For example, here's an old song that many of us used to sing a long time ago, a song by Amy Grant. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How many of you remember that song? You remember the melody and so forth? Well, look at the rest of the lyrics. When I am afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're right there beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Do you see the error? Please be near me to the end. Wait a minute. This is double-mindedness. This is error. This is unbelief. It's in a song that we sing. It's so subtle. It's right there. And we tend to forget. Wait a minute. Over 100 times in the Bible has God given us scripture that he says himself or implies, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So how many times? Over 100 times. Do you see, I'm not being critical of Amy Grant or the song. It's a nice song and all that. But you notice the error right away. Don't you go, whoa, wait a minute. That's not true. I can't let that into my heart. I can't afford to let error, unbelief, enter my heart. So there's just things we tend to forget. And we just go, it's not that important. It is important. It's vital. And do you know that one of the greatest warnings from God was to Israel, and it was a warning to not forget the Lord or his goodness? He warned Israel, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget my goodness to you. How could you forget the Lord? We're going to not like, oh, have a memory lapse. Who are you? No, it's not that kind of forget. In fact, when you look at this scripture, this next scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God says to Israel, he says, God led you in the wilderness to humble you. How many of you have had some wilderness training? Good. It was necessary to humble you. God led Israel into the wilderness to humble them, to let you suffer some hunger. And he fed you with manna, supernatural provision, which you did not know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Do we believe this? We say yes, but then the time of testing will come. God reminds him, said, look, didn't I take care of you all your life? When you went through the wilderness, your clothing didn't wear out, your shoes didn't wear out, and even there was none feeble among you. You've got to consider that all of that was training so I can bring you to a place where I want you to live. So God does send discipline in our life. But here's the point. God was saying to them that he did all these things because Israel would have a tendency to forget God. We have a tendency to forget. Everybody here, if you're born again, you've had a wilderness experience with God, that God actually put you in a wilderness to teach you, to humble you, that you can't do this thing called the Christian life on your own. In fact, you can't do it at all. You need him. You're absolutely dependent upon God because no one can live the Christian life except God himself in you and through you. So everybody has some wilderness times, places where God taught you how to depend upon Him, how to look to Him, how to cry out to Him, how to pray to Him. And I guarantee you, it was probably not a very pleasant experience at that moment. But you look back upon it and you say, you know what? That was the time I grew the most in my spiritual life. How many can I get a witness from? It was hard, but I am so glad I went through it. It was difficult. It was the hardest thing I ever did. But I'm so glad I went through, because I learned about God in a way that I never would have known had I not gone through that. God leads us to times of hunger, but He feeds us when we're hungry. He leads us to times of lack, but He provides for us in that time of lack. He leads us through times of suffering, but He provides comfort in our suffering. So He wants you to learn to come to Him, because we have a tendency to forget. Not forget memory lapse, but forget who we're dependent upon, who we need, that we need His word from His mouth to our hearts more than we need daily food, daily bread. Are you understanding? This is what God's trying to get across to us. So when you fast, and if you take times of fasting in your life, which is a great discipline, you're voluntarily putting yourself in hunger. You're voluntarily putting yourself in a place of dependence upon God. You're voluntarily putting yourself in a place of spiritual discipline. You're voluntarily doing that. And God likes that if your motivation is right. And so what is the purpose of all that? It's to recalibrate your heart, because we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to drift away from the things of God. We think that we can live this life without really depending on the Lord. And then we become little religious people, and we have our little quiet times and so forth, but we're not really depending on God. We get out there and crank it out ourselves. Hello, can anybody agree? I remember when my mom, my father passed away when I was 13, and so my mom raised me as a single parent much of her life. She remarried, but she raised me pretty much as a single mom. She was a beautician. We didn't have any insurance whatsoever, so my mom had to have these enormous hospital bills to pay after my dad died. Of course, she didn't have no income there, no savings. She still had a house payment. She had a 13-year-old boy to raise. And we both, to this day, look back in amazement how God provided for us. I do not remember anything lacking in our life. I don't remember any lack whatsoever. In fact, it seems like over a period of time, she went and borrowed some money from the bank, and she started her own beauty shop and became very good at that and prospered. Things actually turned out better after that. And she took all those risks, and we look back at the amazement how God provided. What we thought was going to be a horrible time turned out to be a great time of God's provision. And we weren't Christians, we weren't seeking God, but God was merciful to us, and He was gracious to us. And the tendency to forget God and His goodness is not in the lean times, it's in the prosperous times. It's right where you are right now. This time in your life when you're prospering, you know, you're doing probably better now than you have most of your life. And the tendency to forget the Lord and His goodness is not in the lean times, but it's in the prosperous times, the times of ease, the times where we have more time on our hands than we've ever had. Listen to this warning from the Lord in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Again, God speaking to Israel. And He says, "For the Lord is bringing you into a good land called the villages, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything. When you have eaten and are full and have built and occupied good houses, which you all live in, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. You must remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. It's not in the lean times. It's in your most prosperous times. You have a tendency to just forget the Lord. In other words, it's not that important. We don't take it serious. And so God says back in Proverbs 3, is where we are, verses 1 and 2, my son, my daughter, don't forget my teaching. Anytime you're under the sound of the preaching or teaching of the Word of God, God is talking to you. He's saying something that He's trying to put in your life you need at this moment. You may not value it that much. You may think, I don't need this. I don't need to hear that or whatever. But God knows your future. He knows you need this. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments or my word. For length of days, that's health, and long life and peace will they add to you. God's trying to prosper you into spiritual prosperity that will also manifest in the material prosperity, but He's primarily more concerned about your spiritual prosperity. Are you here breathing? Talk to me. Say, yeah, yeah. Okay. So I want to talk to you about the benefits of wisdom briefly. The benefits of wisdom is, first of all, God says, look, if you pay attention to my word, if you make your heart keep my word, not just your head, but if you really let it hit your heart and impact your heart, one of the benefits is going to be health. Physical health. Length of days, health. And long life is just longevity. Long life worth living. What's the value of having long life if you don't have health? Who wants to live to be 120 years old, but you're bedridden? You can't do anything. There's no purpose in that. There's no value in it. Nobody would want that. And so God wants us, and He says, if you will pay attention, and if you'll really grab hold of, when I'm giving you the word, when I'm teaching you the word, when I'm putting the word out for you, and all you got to do is receive it, and if you'll take it and put it in your heart and keep it, then guess what? You're going to get the benefit of health. You'll be healthier physically. And a long life, a life worth living. Is that what you want? Well, praise God, you're in the right place. Amen. You're getting some health food. You know, a lot of people falsely believe, that there is a time limit on your life, that you're only going to live so many days, so many years, and so many breaths, and so many heartbeats, and then when that date expires, you're gone. That's what they believe. They said, and basically, I believe that, except for you can prematurely die. You can die before your time. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. But you can die before your time. You can die unhealthy before your time. I don't believe it's God's will for you to die of sickness and disease. God wants you to live healthy while you're here. But you can die before your time. You can do foolish things and die before your time. Ecclesiastes 7:17, do not be a fool. Why should you die before your time? So you can die before your time. What are some possible foolish things that people could do to probably end their life prematurely? Jump out of an airplane for the thrill of parachuting. Well, man, I'm not condemning anybody if that's what you do for fun, but you're really taking a lot of risk for a minimum thrill. Are you with me? Get strapped to a bungee cord and just jump off a building, see how close you can get before you smash your face on the concrete. Oh, it's a thrill! It was so much fun! You could die before your time. You can be a fool and die before your time just for the thrill of something. That's not God's will for you. So stop it. All you bungee cord guys. All right. My son, Proverbs 3, do not forget my teaching. I keep pounding this home to you. Do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. This word peace is the word shalom, which means completeness. God wants your life to be complete, whole. That comes like this peace that comes when you pay off your mortgage or you finish a project. You feel good, like, wow, I've accomplished something. I've done something worthwhile. And God says, I want these things to end your life. And if you'll pay attention just to my word and what I'm giving you, and if you'll put it in your heart, guess what? I'll give you length of days, which is health. I'll give you long life, and I'll give you peace. How much would you pay for those three things? Everything you got. The richest man in the world, richest person in the world right now would give everything in the world to pay if they could have health if they were sick. I'd give you all, because the money would mean nothing if you without health. And then peace. The satisfaction of I have lived my life in accomplishing the mission that God has for me. What a joy. And by the way, do you know and have you experienced and have you realized a time where God has used your life to help somebody? You arrived at the right time, you were the right person. Maybe you provided them a little money. Maybe you helped them out with something, and they were so grateful. And you walked away with this incredible peace, this shalom in your heart, knowing that God used me today to help somebody. He used me to make a difference in someone's life. How many of you have had those experiences? I would tell you right now, there's no amount of money on the earth that can ever buy that. What a joy to know that God Almighty has picked you and selected you to use you to help somebody at the right moment, give them the right word or give them the right help. You showed up. You were Jesus in skin to them. What a joy that is. Amen? Then he goes on to say in verse 3 and 4, do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Do not let mercy and truth forsake you. This word mercy is an interesting word. It's the word hesed in the Hebrew, and it's a difficult word to translate. It's often translated grace. It could be loving kindness, the steadfast love of the Lord. And God is saying, don't let mercy and truth forsake you. In other words, they're not going to forsake you by walking away from you, but it's basically you leaving them. We're here on the planet to project and let God project his life through us, and his life will primarily be projected through mercy. Mercy. God is a merciful God, and our life is to project that mercy. Don't let mercy and truth, the word of God, leave your life. Your life is here to project mercy and truth to people. And it's interesting that mercy comes before truth. Did you see that? Mercy comes before truth. Don't let mercy and truth forsake you. You can give truth to somebody, and if it's not with mercy, it can be hurtful, even though it's true. You know, you say, well, I'm going to tell them whether they like it or not, if it hurts them or not, I'm going to tell them anyway. Well, God doesn't work that way with you. Why would you work that way with anybody else? So you can speak the truth to somebody, but you need to have mercy. Mercy is dominant. God is merciful to us. How I know that. Wow, thank you, God, for your mercy. And he says, now this mercy and truth, bind them around your neck. Imagine right now if I had a necklace on and I'm binding mercy and truth around my neck. Where's it going to be hanging? Right over my heart. So you see it again. The heart is mentioned. God said at the very first of this, he said, look, you make sure that you keep my commandments from your heart. Christianity is about your heart. Following Jesus is about your heart. It's not about getting information. It's about your heart. And so he says clearly, make sure you bind this. It's going to be around your neck, and then write them on the tablet of your heart. Write it on the tablet of your heart. Make sure it stays there. And if you'll do this, you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Do you know what the favor of God is? Anybody? Anybody want some? The favor of God is the tangible evidence that that you have the approval of God, that God really likes what you're doing. So let me ask you again, how many of you want favor? Oh yeah, the tangible evidence in some way, however God decides to give it, in such a way that you have the approval of God, the blessing of God upon you. He says, if you'll bind mercy and truth. Now God's telling us how to get favor. So I just ask you, how many of you, and now I'm telling you, God is telling us how we get it. He says, you bind them and you write them. You bind them and you write them. That's your responsibility. It's not just going to happen because you pray for it. Bind it and write it upon your heart. Your heart has to be motivated. I want to express the mercy and the truth of God while I'm here on this earth. So as you do that, God says, I'm going to give you the benefit. And the benefit of this wisdom is favor with God and man. Verse 4, so you will find favor and God, favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 4. And then the great example that came to my mind as I was reading this is the example of Joseph in the Old Testament, and especially the last part of Genesis. Remember Joseph, son of Jacob? The brothers, his brothers, his half-brothers hated him, sold him to slavery. He wound up being a slave to Potiphar down in Egypt, got falsely accused of raping Potiphar's wife, which he did not do, put in prison, there for many years, his feet put in stocks. But even in prison, the favor of God was on him. The tangible evidence that God was saying, I approve of you. And everybody began to notice it. Do you know, if you have the favor of God upon your life, people are going to notice it. There's just something. God is blessing you. He's helping you. He's protecting you. He's providing for you. He's enabling you. He's giving you strength or whatever it is. He's helping you. And so the example of Joseph is seen in Genesis 39, verse 21, especially. In Genesis 39, 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. You ought to just reflect right now upon a time in your life. You look back and think, wow, I had the favor of God upon me. I mean, just good things were coming to me without me trying to get them. In 1976, I was at Parris Island, South Carolina. It's one of your favorite places, right? And I remember getting off that bus in the middle of the night and standing on little orange footprints, and a Tasmanian devil came out cursing me and cussing me and cursing all my family all the way back to Adam and Eve. And with names and stuff that I'd never heard of before. And I started shaking. I was nervous. And I thought, man, I have made a terrible mistake with my life. I don't belong here with these people. I was raised better than this. And I started talking to God. It had been a long time since I talked to God when I was 19. So I started talking to God like, God, you're there. I need you right now. I need a 911. You didn't have 911 back then. But I need you right now, God. Help me, help me, help me. And then the drill instructor got up to the next guy standing next to me. We're all standing at attention, and he punches the guy next to me. The guy falls down the ground. Then I'm more nervous. And I'm thinking, oh God, what's going to happen? And I'm praying, but my eyes are open because you got to keep your eyes open. And I'm trying to look straight ahead, and I'm trembling. And then the drill instructor says these words while I'm praying. He says, "And don't any of you bother praying because there's no God on Paris Island." Man, I started to believe him. Good God, you're not helping me. But it was a few months later that it was Paris Island was the place I found there is a God. A guy shared the gospel with me, and I received the Lord there at Paris Island, the place the drill instructor said there's no God here. Well, there was a God there. And after I received the Lord in my life by praying a simple prayer, I started noticing I had favor. I didn't know what you called it, but I just had the approval of God. It seemed like everywhere I went, everything I did, I prospered. You know, I was in a place I wanted to get out of, but I was prospering. I got a meritorious promotion. I got the on the rifle range, I got the highest score. I got the Leatherneck Award. It's like one thing after another happened, and I became the guide, and I became the honor graduate. Got to meet the general, got that promotion, and then, I mean, it's just things started happening for me. God was like, I just want to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Everything I did. It was amazing. I look back upon that time and saying, now I know that was just God's favor, his loving kindness on me. Not because I deserved it. It was just his goodness to me. Now, the question should be right now, how can I get favor upon my life today, Pastor? Thank you, brother. Somebody said, tell us, Pastor, how I can get the favor of God upon our life. I'm glad you ask. I'm only going to tell you because you're the only one to ask. Nah, that wouldn't be fair. Here's what God says. You want to know? Yes. Isaiah 66:2. The word of the Lord. God says, these are the ones that I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in heart and spirit, and tremble at my word. Those who are humble. Those who are contrite in spirit means they're broken in the spirit. Not broken in a bad way, but broken in a good way, like you break a horse. Now he's usable. When you break a horse, he's finally trainable. He'll finally follow instructions. God says, the ones I'm going to give favor to are people who are humble in heart. They know they need me. They're broken in their spirit like a horse. Now I can use them. And they tremble at my word. I can't remember the last time I trembled at God's word. And this isn't talking necessarily about shaking like a leaf. It's talking about reverencing and respecting and realizing when God is giving you a word, God's speaking to you, that you, man, you're on it. You're there. You're taking it in. You're receiving it. It's valuable to you. It's not something you're going to forget before you wake up in tomorrow morning. It's something you're going to put in your heart. You're going to keep it. Are you hearing me? God says, that's the one. I'm going to give favor to that person who does that. And I can't tell by looking at anybody here who that is. I hope it's all of you. God says, I want to give you favor, but here's the conditions. Humble heart, contrite in spirit, and who values greatly my word when it's coming to them. And then immediately in Proverbs 3, after verse 4, comes verse 5. Isn't that amazing how that happens? Maybe you're familiar with this. Now he says, now trust in the Lord with all... Come on, say it with me if you know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's that word heart again. Every time I see the word heart in my Bible, I draw a little heart around it. I write in my Bible. I just draw a little heart. And so far, we've seen it three times. God's after your heart. It's not how much you know. It's who you know. He's after your heart. This week, he's been after your heart. Tonight, he's after your heart. If he gets your heart, he gets everything else. You know, you don't have to teach people how to tithe. You just have to teach them how to love the Lord, their God, with all their heart. They'll tithe.
It just keeps me coming back, brother.
Yeah. You don't have to teach people to give. Just teach them to give their heart to God. It'll happen. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Wow. How many times have I gotten in trouble because I leaned into my own understanding? Do you know that you're really not made to understand God's word with your head? You're not made to understand God's word with your head. You're made to understand it with your heart. It means it's going to require revelation on your heart. It's going to have to require the Holy Spirit to reveal something to you where you have that aha moment. It isn't because you figured it out because you were smart. It was a revelation that hit your heart that made your mind work properly. So God has to open our hearts up. There are people that you want to see saved in your family and your friends and your neighborhood and so forth, and that's a good thing. It will not happen by you just bringing them to church. It will not happen if they just start reading the Bible. It's going to take Holy Spirit revelation to somehow, it's going to have to hit their heart, or it'll never take. And they can become a religious person. They can join the church. They can get baptized. They can work in the church and do all those things. But if God doesn't have their heart, they're not saved. The most frightening scripture I know of in the Bible is Matthew 7:21, where Jesus' own words said, there'll be many, many on that last day who come to me and say, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do this ministry? Didn't we do great things? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do great works in your name? And he's going to say, I never knew you. How in the world could that happen? Obviously, it's possible. It takes revelation. Acts 16:14. Look at this verse of scripture. There was a woman named Lydia, Paul said, who heard us preaching, and the Lord opened her heart to acknowledge what Paul said. You know, I can preach till I'm blue in the face. I can dance in front of you. I can do all kinds of things to entertain you, and I can do things to try to get your attention, but it's going to have your heart opened by the Holy Spirit to receive it, or otherwise it's just gone. It's gone. It takes the Holy Spirit to open our hearts, to acknowledge even what the Apostle Paul, as great as he was, what he was saying, what he was teaching, it could not be received until till the lady's heart was opened by the Holy Spirit. And the same is true for you. You've got to guard your heart from becoming hard. You've got to guard your heart from kind of casually taking the things of God casually. You've got to guard your heart from being lukewarm. You've got to guard your heart from the world that will make your heart hard just by being in it. You've got to be careful to not let your heart get hard. Coming to church can make your heart hard. Do you know that? Coming to church can make your heart hard. Reading the Bible can make your heart hard. Serving the Lord can make your heart hard. It just gets calloused on the outside. You know all the answers. You've heard it before. You've heard that sermon. You know what you're... there's nothing new. Your heart's hard. And you don't even know it. A lot of times it's because of our own understanding gets in the way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding, that's where we get in trouble. We think we got it figured out. We don't think we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for revelation. We already know it. We read a familiar text in the Bible. I already know that. Adam and Eve in the perfect environment with the perfect Father in the Garden of Eden, they used their own understanding and it caused their downfall. God said, no, you can eat of all the fruit, the trees, everything here is yours for the taking. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, stay away from it. And they were talked into leaning into their own understanding. You think we know more than God? We wouldn't say that. But when we lean into our own understanding, it leads to our downfall as well. Last two things, quickly, the benefits of wisdom from the Holy Spirit, the benefit of direction from God. In verse 6 of Proverbs 3, in all your ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your path. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that if I take time to acknowledge God in everything I'm doing, that he'll direct my path? Then how many of us do that? You're going into a meeting. Stop and acknowledge God. God, I need your wisdom. I need your help. I need your insight. I need your discernment. You're with me. Help me. You're going into a difficult conversation with a friend. You're trying to reconcile things. Oh, God, help me. Help me to know when to speak and when to be silent. God says, if you acknowledge me in all your ways, I will direct your path. Yes or no? Yes. The benefit of direction. You need direction from God. God says, start here. Proverbs 3. The benefit of health. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Verse 8. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Fearing the Lord is not being afraid of the Lord in terror. It is respecting the Lord, but it's also being aware of his presence. The fear of the Lord is the awareness of God's presence. He's with me always. He never leaves. I don't have to wait for a certain song to hit me and get goosebumps before I realize his presence. His presence is with me all the time. And that's the fear of the Lord when we realize, you know, I can't have a secret conversation and talk about somebody and act like God's not there. He heard it. And the fear of the Lord causes us to depart from evil. There'll be certain things that'll come on the television that, you know, if you're really aware that the Lord is right there with you, you'd go, let me turn that off. No, thank you. I don't want to insult you, Lord. I can handle it, but I don't want to insult you. That's the fear of the Lord. And when you have that, you get the health benefit again. Healthy bodies. Imagine that. God wants us healthy. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It'll be health to your body and strength to your bones. King James says it'll bring health to your navel. That was your life source when you were in the womb, remember? And it says, instead of strength to your bones, it says it'll be marrow to your bones. Marrow to your bones. God says, that's what God's word says in verse 8. So if you need to be healthy, if you need some healing, God's saying, here's the way. I'm trying to tell you, if you'll pay attention, if you really believe me. And then last but not least, the benefit of provision and plenty. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance, your material wealth, your substance here. And with the first fruits of your increase. When you get an increase in your life, the first thing should be not how much can you keep for yourself, but should be, first of all, I'm going to honor God with this. And for me, it's a no-brainer after years of walking with the Lord. It's that first 10% is his. I don't touch it. I don't even own it. So any increase, the first 10% belongs to him. It's just financial stewardship. And God promises that if you'll honor him that way, if you'll honor God with your substance, not that he needs anything. He doesn't need our money. You know God doesn't have any money? Are y'all breathing? God has no money. It's all, he doesn't need any money. If you were to ask God, God, could you give me $5? He'd say, no, I'm sorry, I'm out. I don't have any. He doesn't have it. We have money. And the only place you have it is here on earth. This is the only place you're tested with finances. What are you going to do with it? God says, if you'll honor me, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase, I promise you, your barns will be filled with plenty and your presses will burst out with new wine. I don't even have a barn. I have a shed. And the shed's already packed with stuff. And your presses, your wine presses, will burst out with new wine, meaning it's representative of the Holy Spirit. You'll never lack the filling of the Holy Spirit. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. And all the people that know that should have shouted, amen, right there. You cannot outgive God. I dare you to try. I dare you to try. He is so generous. You cannot, and don't give to get. That's the wrong motive. God was not going to be mocked by that. But I guarantee you, when you start giving from the heart to honor God, I want to honor you, you will not lack. He is so generous. So, let's recap everything. Five benefits of wisdom from the Holy Spirit we learned tonight. Number one, you can have health and long life and peace. Right there it is in the Word of God, verse 2, Proverbs 3. You can have favor with God and man, verse 4. You can have direction from God for your life, verse 6. You can have health to your body, verse 8. And you can have the provision of plenty, verse 10. Everything you've been looking for all your life is right there in those 10 verses. Take it. Take it. Take it seriously. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. It's alive, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's real. We believe you. We don't understand you, but we certainly believe you, and we trust you. May we trust you with all of our heart, and may we walk out of here better tonight as a result of being in this place. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here tonight, folks. Thank you, Suzanne Brown.